The Mars Express spacecraft has been orbiting the red planet since December 2003. Last week, it discovered permanent liquid water. Researchers found a large lake of salty water buried 1.5 kilometres beneath Mars's surface. To discuss more, we're joined by Jonty Horner, Professor of Astrophysics from the University of Southern Queensland. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Now, what is this lake exactly?
So it's a deeply buried feature that if we found it on Earth, we'd really call a subglacial lake. If you think about Antarctica or you think about Greenland, these places on Earth where we have these huge ice caps, we know now that buried deep beneath their ice, there are liquid water lakes. There are more than 400 of them on Antarctica alone. What we think we've found on Mars is the same kind of feature, just on a different planet, which is unbelievably cool, if you ask me. I think it's really, really exciting.
Now, beyond this, what is the significance of finding water on Mars?
It's really exciting in the context that all of the missions we've been sending to Mars for at least the last 20 years and the Viking missions that we sent in the 1970s have all been couched in the light of trying to answer this question of are we alone? To look at the idea of whether there could have been life on Mars in the past or whether there could be life there now. And NASA's big strategy on that for the last 20 years or so has been follow the water. It's a philosophy that's based on the fact that on Earth, everywhere you find water, you find life, without fail, whether it's in lakes 100 metres, 800 metres, a kilometre below the ice in Antarctica, or whether it's the lakes that I'm looking at out on my car windscreen at the minute. Everywhere you find water, there's life. And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at Mars to look for evidence of whether Mars once had liquid water or whether it has liquid water today. And that's what a lot of the missions over the last 20 years have been kind of working towards. This is a really big surprise and a really big exciting discovery then, because we've found liquid water. And we've not just found liquid water that's transient, it's there 1 minute and goes away again the next. But this is a lake that was there for at least 4 years. The observation spanned from 2012 to 2015. And every time they looked, it was there. So it looks like it's permanent. And that means you've got water on Mars. You've got water on Mars that hangs around, stays over very long periods of time. And you've got water that's also protected by a layer of ice above it from the vagaries of cosmic rays, the solar radiation, and the really kind of unpleasant conditions that are now kind of predominant on the surface of the red planet.
Now, given this exciting breakthrough, what is the next step?
I think the next step is really for everybody to scratch their heads and figure out what we do next. It's one thing to find this using the orbiter that's doing remote sensing, essentially looking from Mars orbit, bouncing radar waves down and seeing what's underneath the surface, imaging the subsurface. It's really another to actually get to Mars' South Pole and try and get down into the lake. Now, if you pull up a map of Mars using Google and look at where all of our previous missions to Mars have landed, you'll notice that they've all landed in Mars' northern hemisphere. Mars' northern hemisphere is like the lowlands. It's several kilometres lower than Mars' southern hemisphere. What that means is that the atmospheric pressure in the northern hemisphere is higher. It's like the atmospheric pressure at sea level here, sea level down in Adelaide, is a lot higher than the pressure at the top of Mount Everest. That makes it easier to land there because it means it's easier for you to slow down when you're coming in at really high velocity. You can use a parachute, you can parachute down to the surface. The southern hemisphere is harder to get to. You'll also see that most of those missions have landed near Mars' equator within about 30 degrees of it, and that's because it's easier to get to the equator than the pole. The problem with Mars' south pole, which is where this lake's been found, is it's in the highlands and it's at the pole, which means we've got both of those difficult obstacles to overcome. And that's before we try and figure out how a rover or a spacecraft that's probably no bigger than a car can carry a drill that will get it through a kilometre and a half of ice. So there's a huge technological challenge there in actually getting to the location, drilling down and turning we are pretty confident there's a lake there, so does this lake have life? But it's the kind of technological challenge people thrive on. And I think over the next decade or so, people will be really putting a lot of thought into whether we can explore this lake, how we do it, and whether we should look at a mission launching in 10 or 15 years' time that will actually land on the South Polar Cap of Mars and drill down to find out what's down there. So it'll be a long story, but it'll be an exciting one.
I'm speaking with Jonty Horner, Professor of Astrophysics from the University of Southern Queensland, speaking to us about the recent discovery of a lake on Mars. Now, in that decade or so when we hopefully will land on Mars and be able to explore this lake, what will the researchers be looking for?
That's much harder to tell. So one of the things I think that we often don't mention when we talk about the search for life elsewhere is one of those things that we assume without realising we're assuming it, which is that when we look for life elsewhere, we'll initially look for life like life on Earth. The problem here is that in the entire universe, in everywhere we've studied, we know of exactly one kind of life, which is Earth life. And Earth life, we kind of understand. We know what it looks like. You know the whole phrase, if it barks like a dog, it is a dog kind of thing. It's that idea. So the first thing we'd be doing would be looking for something that we would recognize as life. Now, if we got to the lake, I'm not a biologist, so I can't give you the fine details. But I guess what we would do initially would be to bring up the water from the lake, look at it, see if it contained anything that resembled microbes, bacteria, things like that. Maybe see how it responded to a source of nutrients, see whether any new gases were emitted, things like that. The ideal, the dream, of course, would be to try and put people on Mars, because there's a very famous saying that if you put a geologist on Mars, they could do the work that the Mars rovers have taken a decade to do in an afternoon. Humans are really, really good at doing these things. But that's a whole other level of challenge. And it's also something that we'd have to fight with our current kind of risk aversion, because sending people to Mars is not only hard, it's dangerous. And I think the main reason we haven't done it yet is not because we don't have the technology, it's because it's hard to muster the will when you know that people will die in the process.
Now, on the note, you said before that looking for life may not look like life that we understand on Earth. Could this be another breakthrough when we finally do reach this lake of understanding, you know, the broader biology of maybe other planets?
For definite. I mean, I think one of the really things that's exciting is if we were to find life on Mars, and I have to say that's a big if, but if we were to find life on Mars, it will be one of two things. The first thing is that it will be life that is life like us, and it's sufficiently like us, and by us I mean Earth life, that it has a common origin. In other words, life on Earth and life on Mars started together, have the same background and are cousins. And that's not beyond the bounds of possibility. We know that rocks from Mars land on Earth all the time. We know that rocks from Earth land on Mars all the time. Things that are ejected by impacts that make craters throw rocks into space and they're delivered to the other planet. That would be really exciting, because that would confirm that life can be transferred from planet to planet. And therefore, by extension, life, once it gets started somewhere in the cosmos, will eventually become common. The other story, if we were to find life on Mars, and again, I stress that is a big if, but if we were to find life on Mars and it did not have a common origin with life on Earth, it was something totally different, then what that tells you is that two planets that form next to each other, which both have the conditions needed at the start for life to develop, both of them got life. They got it separately. And that tells you life gets started more easily than many people might otherwise think. And that, again, is a really positive thing in terms of how common life might be in the cosmos. Of course, the third option is that we never find life on Mars. And that's something we have to bear in mind. But the problem there, of course, is that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And we have to keep looking.
Well, Jonty, given all those big ifs, it's great to be hopeful about the things that we have found.
Absolutely. I'm an optimist. I'm trying to keep balance here. My personal guess is that if we are to find life beyond the Earth in the next decade, Mars is probably where we'll do it. I think the more we look, the more we're finding that Mars in the past was a place that had a lot of similarities to the early Earth. And therefore, if either of those comments that I made before are true, then life could well have been there in the past. The way that Mars changed from the warmer, wetter Mars to the current very cold, very frigid world was gradual. And that would have given life plenty of time to adapt if it actually got established there. So I'm an optimist, and I'd like to think that we've got a reasonable chance of finding life there in the next decade or so. Either life that is currently alive there or fossil life, life that is evidence that there once was life there. That's not to say we will, but I'm an optimist. I'd really like to think that it's a real possibility at least.
Well, really appreciate your insight. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you ever so much.
Jonty Horner there, Professor of Astrophysics from the University of Southern Queensland, speaking to us about the potential for life on Mars following the discovery of a lake 1.5 kilometres beneath Mars's surface.